And I should probably just give a little bit of context in terms of I've done that job now for 4 weeks. But prior to that, for 15 years, I've coordinated the church's work in its poorest 70 neighbourhoods across the country. I've helped with others to establish an organisation called Faith in Community Scotland, and have helped to found something in Scotland called the Poverty Truth Commission, which deliberately brings together people with a direct experience of poverty to engage with people of power and influence around the principle that we will not actually develop an effective anti-poverty movement until people who experience poverty are leading it, rather than sitting in the back seat being told by other people what way the bus needs to go. My comments, therefore, I dare say, draw on all of those different bits and pieces. A few weeks ago, the Centre for Human Ecology, Faith and Community Scotland, and the Church of Scotland hosted an event in Glasgow called Beyond Food Banks, which was really our attempt to build on the thinking which is going on about how we need to move beyond emergency food provision into a much more sustainable model of thinking about food sovereignty. And as Pete was saying earlier, about recognising that a model of emergency aid, which we know is bankrupt in terms of development in other parts of the world, cannot be the way that we deal with food poverty in this country. I think probably what I'd want to do is just highlight maybe three key issues for me, and then maybe five core messages, and then I might just say a couple of wee things at the end. Three key messages. Message number one is that there is absolutely irrefutable evidence that welfare cuts are having a massive impact in the creation of food poverty. Message number two, there is evidence, albeit I think it is more anecdotal, but certainly of many of the folk that I have the privilege of spending time with, who themselves have to use food banks, there is evidence that food banks are creating a new form of dependency for people who are using them. I want to be really clear that normally when we talk about that culture of dependency, our temptation is to blame the people who are becoming dependent. In actual fact, it is a model that has been created by others for them to use, and therefore the responsibility for that dependency rests with those who have created the system, not with those who have become dependent upon the system. In the same way as we talk about a welfare system which has created dependency, and then we blame the poor for that dependency, whereas it was the rich that created the system in the first place. And thirdly, I would want to say that there is real evidence that we are meeting need in our current model, but we need to recognise that a substantial part of the need we are meeting is the need of people who have resources to give something away, rather than actually be about meeting the need of people who don't have resources. So I think actually food banks tie in to our sense of being needed in terms of providing charitable acts, rather than actually really meeting need. I also think that for us, increasingly, we would want people to be thinking not so much about what is the need to be met, but what is actually the strength or the treasure or the asset which might be there, which could actually be unlocked to create a far better way of working. So those are the three things that we would have observed. I think five core messages, and I'm quite confident about the first four and less confident about the fifth, although I'll say it anyway. The first one has already been said in the words of, paraphrasing the words of Mandela, food is an issue of justice and not simply of charity. The second thing would be that we absolutely need to celebrate the generosity of those who volunteer and those who give food, but we need to strive to change that relationship. I think that the model or the relationship that we have at present, for me, is Paulo Freire's, the Brazilian educator, his view around banking education and liberative education. I think actually what we have is we have a model of banking food provision, where I have and therefore I give and you receive. And in actual fact, for me as the recipient, it leaves me stripped of any sense that I am of any worth. But I've got something to fill my stomach. And instead we need a sort of liberative model of emergency food provision, which actually says, I may have some resources here, you have some resources here, how do we actually build something which actually changes the dynamic of the relationship? Three, I think we recognise that we need to move from an emergency short-term provision into a much longer-term, more participative and more sustainable model of working. And I think Mary-Ann and Pete have both pointed to examples of that. I think we see that within the creation of food share. We see it in the creation of things where people come together to cook food for one another. We see it as people kind of get involved in the growing and the production of food, which they then eat. I think that there is a real danger that the sort of local food movement will end up being the prerogative of the rich, and the poor will again be excluded from it. And therefore we need to think very carefully about a local food movement that prioritises how those who are poorest in our society can be involved. I think that the fourth thing I would say is that we need to be absolutely clear that those who experience food poverty and poverty and food poverty are germane to the finding of effective solutions. The strapline of the Poverty Truth Commission, borrowed from other organisations, is that nothing about us without us is for us. And I think that that's just not morally the obvious way to go. I think it is absolutely pragmatically and in terms of common sense the correct way to go, because people who know the struggle know what could actually be done to help them most effectively in that struggle. And the final core message that we would offer would be that I think we are deeply uncomfortable with a voucher system that operates within many food banks. We understand the rationale for it, At its best, it really means that if people keep coming back, we need to know that there is a more systemic problem that needs to be addressed. Our real concern is that what it does is it buys in to the completely false notion that those who are on benefits or those who require emergency food are somehow on the scrounge. And therefore we need a system to check that they're not on the scrounge. And the way of doing that is to get a respectable middle-class citizen to give them a voucher and send them somewhere. So the notion that you need to be referred by someone of power or influence to go and say to someone that you don't have enough food to feed your family or yourself, we would say is an affront to human dignity. And perhaps just three wee closing remarks. One would be, I've got the privilege every so often of going along to the Big Thursday in the Gorbals, where Thursday by Thursday about 100 people gather to eat together. On the Wednesday, a group of 6 or 7 of them have gone and bought the food. And then that group of people come together, they make the food for the other 90 people, and then they serve them. And 1 week, that may be a food which originates in food from Afghanistan, because that's where that group of people who are cooking that week come from. Another week it may be from Scotland, another week it may be from Bangladesh. When you go into that room and have that sense of what is going on, there is something absolutely magical going on. I think, you know, in very simple terms, I think that food creates community, and that we also need communities creating food as a model for us to be looking at. Second wee comment would be that I've got a very good friend who says to me that he would rather crawl over broken glass than go to a food bank. And every time I hear people suggesting that food banks are part of the solution, I think of my friend. And I know on one occasion he was desperate enough to go and to crawl over the glass. And the final thing, on an optimistic point to end, the Good Food Nation Commission that you talked about earlier, I think, had its first meeting today.
Tomorrow lunchtime.
On that commission will be a member of the Poverty Truth Commission who has direct experience of that struggle against food. And I think I'm delighted to think that the Scottish Government took the challenge which a number of us addressed to it seriously enough, that they made the decision to ensure that the expertise of someone who struggles with having enough to eat was a vital contribution to be made in a commission which is thinking about Scotland being a good food nation. And that's me.
Thank you very much indeed.